Thank you, Brother Davis, and it's good to be with you this morning. It's a little early, and I want to thank all of you for being here at this time of day. And when you go to camp meeting, you're not supposed to get up real early. You're supposed to relax and rest, recuperate from your long struggles of the past few weeks, but some folks don't know that. They come out early to hear a preacher about 9 o'clock in the morning. So we're glad you're here. I also would like to say that, it really doesn't matter how many of us are here. I appreciate you. The Word of God never changes. The Word of God's very good for me on a personal basis, or it's good for a large congregation. So the Word of God is our strength. I thank you so much. Brother Grant, it's great to see you here this morning. I was the Bible teacher for the Wisconsin camp meeting a couple weeks ago, and I appreciate Brother Grant so very much. I also appreciated the tremendous Word of God that we heard last night. A wonderful message. I've been feasting on that today. And I feel the Lord has given me something to share with you this morning, maybe in the way of a Bible study, brief Bible study, but it's a study of God's Word. And these are troublesome times. We must be very frank about it. And these are shaky times. They're not troublesome to me. And I don't feel shaky myself because I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. The Word of God, in a very changing world, the Word will never change. The Word is forever settled in heaven. Very quickly, if you have your Bibles, I'm inviting your attention to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. God is speaking to Moses, verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Chapter 5, verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. As we read along through the book of Exodus, chapter 6 and verse 5, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgment. Thumbing through this book of Exodus, the early chapters, the 7th chapter, verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go. Chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go. 8:28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, and ye shall, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away and treat for me. Now, you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for standing as I read some of the Scripture. And I'm going to read several passages of Scripture today. But I want to talk about the bondage. You know, we've heard a lot about bondage lately. I felt impressed just to come and speak. This is not a sermon. It's some thoughts from the Word of God. It's a study. In fact, I went into some of this about 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night with the people that I pastor. And we hear a great deal today among prevaricating preachers, saints, that are prevaricating from righteousness, truth, the Word of God, about our doctrine of the new birth, our doctrine of the oneness of God, our doctrine of holiness. And they're speaking about it's all man's bondage. Have you ever heard anybody say that? That's the bondage of man. You're living under bondage. You need to come out from that group and have freedom. I think every city has what you call a church that becomes the garbage can for the backsliders out of your church. I mean, they don't really backslide and go back down to bars. As far as I know, they don't. They just set them up in their homes. They don't go back to, you know, robbing and maybe taking drugs and becoming drunkards. But they just go across town and they join a group that they can live like they want to live, dress like they want to dress, do what they want to do. And every city, every church of any size, apostolic, New Testament church, in that same city, there seems to be a church that's been erected for the catch-all. In fact, the gentleman that came to our city told his brother-in-law, who's a United Pentecostal preacher, and the man that pastors this church was formerly a United Pentecostal church preacher, that he was coming to Stockton so he could build a church off a Christian Life Center. And I guess he's been there about 9 years, and he has caught a few. Somebody's going to catch him. But most of them, I've noticed over the years that have gone over there, don't last very long. I mean, you're born in the fire, you'll never survive in the smoke. I mean, you come the apostolic way, you just can't live the other way very long and feel comfortable. In fact, a person said, I went over it and tried the church the other day. It was within the last couple of weeks. Said, I went over, but they never take an altar call. I've never closed a service in my 21 years of pastoring, maybe less than three times, without giving everybody an opportunity to come forward. We just come and stand. I believe when the word is preached, it's got to be seasoned by some sort of, it needs to terminate with some sort of commitment. And so we're living in a day when there's a lot of folks speaking of man's bondage, you know, man's bondage. You have the bondage of man on you. You women that have beautiful long hair that you've not let the scissors tamper with, that's the bondage of man. You don't paint your face, put on war paint, that's man's bondage. You don't wear all the jewelry of Egypt, that's man's bondage. You wear beautiful, long, modest dresses that cover your body properly, that's the bondage of man. You need to be in pantsuits or bikinis or some kind of thing running around half-dressed. That's bondage. You need freedom. And on it goes. I mean, you, and in the book of Judges, Brother Davis, in several passages, in the 17th chapter and the 6th verse, also the 21st chapter and the 23rd verse, the Bible said, "And there was no king, and every man did that was right in his own eyes." Now, if you study out the book of Judges, you're going to find out that they had nothing but problems in the book of Judges. Everybody wanted to do that was right in their own eyes. And yet, it reached a place in their lives where they could not travel the highways. Because the brush was growing over. Nobody wanted to clean up the brush because every man did what was right in his own eyes. And nobody policed anything. And so the robbers and the thugs beat you up, rob you, take everything you had. Because every man did that was right in his own eyes. I mean, if he felt like robbing you, he'd rob you. You've got to have some form of government. You cannot survive without a form of government. I was talking to a young preacher. He was a prevaricator just the other day. And he said to me, he said, well, I walked in the room. My wife was talking to him and said, she said, honey, you need to talk to him right in front of him. I said, well, what's wrong with him, you know? And, well, she said, you listen to him. And I said, well, I knew what was wrong with him because I'd already heard. But I said to him, what seems to be the problem? Oh, he's not going to preach, she went on to say, standards anymore. And I said, you're not? I said, is everything going? He said, look it, Brother Haney, I'm just tired of the charismatics getting all of our people. I said, are you better than the Assemblies of God? They've lost 10,000 times more people to the charismatics than the UPC. And it sure wasn't over holiness. I mean, it's a group of rebels that don't want to come under any church government or authority. And it wasn't over holiness. They just wanted to get out of the organization. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to lose good people. That's a cop-out. I appreciate what Brother Godere said last night. He explained to us that there is a lot of folks that in the world. We may have some problems. This is what he said that really caught my attention. He said, we may have some problem with some of our folks having a problem over standards. But you don't have a problem with the people out there in the world wanting to come to God. I mean, they're sick of that mess. And they're willing to give it all up to serve God. Now, very quickly, the children of Israel. Let me just say, the children of Israel ended up in Egypt through a man by the name of Joseph, who was sold. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph was despised by his brothers because of his dream. Some of them intended to kill him, but before they got back, one of the brothers lifted him out of the pit, sold him to a caravan, and headed down to Egypt. And Joseph arrived in Egypt, and God had his hand on Joseph. You know that. He was sold. If anybody would have purchased him other than Potiphar, he'd never ended up where he was at. If anybody had been in jail other than him, he wouldn't have been there to interpret the dream to the right fellow at the right time and never made contact with Pharaoh. But God directed every step of Joseph. And then when famine came, we know that his brothers came down to purchase corn. They run out of corn. He said, you'll not see my face again unless you bring your brother with you, speaking of Benjamin. And so he ended up with his old daddy and all of them down there in Egypt, and that was Jacob or Israel and all his sons. And we ended up with the 12 tribes down in Israel, and there was a crowd. After 400 years, the Pharaoh died that knew Joseph, and there arose another Pharaoh. And he didn't treat them very good for those last few years and for the last several hundred years. Made slaves out of them. They were not in their own land, in their own country. This was not where God wanted them. They were in bondage under a heathen king. And they suffered much. They were abused. They were mistreated. They were beaten. They suffered a great deal. They were in bondage.
And the Lord told Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. And I want you to go down, and the first part of the book of Moses, book of Exodus, is given to Moses being directed of God. God's dealing with Moses to send him down there. And how that God had to convince him, the burning bush and so on. Moses ends up standing down in the before Pharaoh, and the Bible said, I want you to go down and bring my people out of Egypt. Now that is the business of every preacher, every pastor, to bring the people out of Egypt, to bring them out of bondage. And this little old business of sermonettes for Christianettes and just having a hallelujah praise service and just a little some excitement in the service, it's good. There's nothing that will take the place of worship, but there is absolutely nothing that will take the place of the Word of God. And the Word of God has to say something to people, speak to their heart, to bring them out of Egypt. And you have to be plain about it and teach it from the Word of God. It's not what you think, preacher. It's what thus saith the Word of God. I can give you what I feel, what I think, and I'm going to maybe cross a few swords here. I can give you my convictions, but it's got to go beyond my personal convictions. My convictions must be predicated upon the Word of God. And so, we've got to bring the people out of Egypt. Now, we know the story, how that God, through Moses, dealt with Pharaoh. And now, this is some things I'd like you to notice. In fact, Brother Gray come and spent last week a night or two with me at my home. My wife was in Michigan doing the district ladies retreat, so him and I had the big old house to ourselves, and we got into the Word of God. And I was talking to him about some of these things that I'm talking to you about this morning. And he, of course, was shedding some light. And he said, did you ever notice the different times that Pharaoh was willing to release the children of Israel? And I said, yes, in fact, I preached on them. But he enlightened some of that. First thing, finally, Pharaoh got sick of it. And he said, yeah, you can go out there in the wilderness and make a sacrifice unto God. But and so, you know, there is a state where the world and bondage says you can have a little religion. It's all right. Just a little religion, you know. Go and get your feet wet. Go and pat your hands. Go and get happy. But when it's all over in church, now you just come back and live like you've been living. Now, you know, that's where we differ from a denominational church. We believe in a new birth experience that totally changes a man. And you don't go to church just on Sunday morning and pat your hands and get something to kind of tickle you, and then go back and drink and curse and swear and live like you lived before you come into the church. Total separation from that old life, out from bondage. The second thing that Pharaoh said to them, he said, you can go out and make a sacrifice, but don't go too far. Now, the world doesn't mind you having a little religion, but don't go too far with it. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it is the best thing in all the world, and I am glad when you start for Jesus, we need to go all the way, make up our mind, we're not going part way out into the wilderness to just have a little peace. We're going all the way. Don't go too far. And the third thing he said, finally he got so fed up, he said, yeah, you can go. You can go, but don't take your kids. I mean, if you don't take everything you got, you're going to go back to Egypt. I don't want to leave anything back there that draws my heart. In other words, that heart has to be focused. You can't. The Bible said, let your eye be single. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will either hate the one and love the other. You cannot have two gods. You got to have one God. Your focus has to be clear. That's why so many Pentecostal people have problems today, because they're trying to hold on to the world and hold on to God at the same time. And you pastors know exactly what I'm talking about. You can go anywhere you want to go, and you'll never find worship like we have in Pentecostal services. I have folks that come throughout a period of several months by the hundreds to hear the choirs. They love to hear the choirs sing. They love to hear the worship. They say, you people worship God like nobody in the world. But when it comes to being a part of the body, they just will not come on in and be a part of the body. Why? They are not willing to come out of Egypt. They want Egypt. They want to hold on to Egypt, but they love the blessing. And I'm going to tell you, sooner or later, we need to understand why that blessing's there. That blessing is there because there's commitment. Not because we have a bunch of good voices and we know all the gymnastics and the movement and how to handle a service. The blessing is there because God says, you have come out of Egypt and I will bless you. If the United Pentecostal Church has blessing in the future, it's going to be because we have come out of Egypt and we are staying out of Egypt. Then finally, Moses said, hey, I'll tell you something. We're not going anywhere unless we take our kids. We're going to take our wives. We're going to take our kids. And we're going as far as we want to go. Then he finally said, well, he got so fed up the last time. He says, you can go, but leave your cattle here. Leave your sheep here. And Moses said, hey, we've got to take something to offer unto the Lord. We take everything we've got. So don't leave anything that's going to cause you to desire Egypt again. Let's talk about that bondage very quickly. You know, bondage. You're under man's bondage. I've had him say to me, that's bondage that you put on those people. Bondage. You know, truthfully, the people that I pastor, they can do anything they want. They can. They're not going to get by with it long. But I don't ever tie anybody up, take a horse whip down, beat them up, and say, you're going to serve God, buddy. Because every man's got to do it on his own. He must have a conviction in his heart. I can teach the Word of God emphatically. And I've had some people, you know, I think every pastor has, just go on and shout. And I knew good and well they were just rebelling against everything I was teaching. And I wondered to myself, how long are they going to last? They don't last too long. Some of them last longer than I thought. But they won't last too long. Because you are eventually going to come in or you're going to go out. And so, that is not man's bondage. I want to ask you, who's under bondage this morning? Who is under bondage? The precious saints of God that look like God's children, that line up to the Word of God, and they say, you're preaching a lot of holiness. That's right. I am preaching holiness. But I'll tell you what, holiness has its roots on the inside. But it demonstrates itself on the outside. Now, I want to know who's under bondage. The sister that doesn't have to get up early in the morning and put on all that war paint and spend 30 minutes in looking in the mirror to make sure it's at the right places. Hang all that jewelry all over her and make sure it's hung properly. I want to know who's in bondage. I'd just really like to know who's in real bondage. The woman that has to spend all her time clipping it just right. Clipping it right and make sure it looks long. You say, are you really that radical? I'm trying to tone it down a little bit. I was a little stronger with the people I pastor because I know them. I don't know some of you. But I'll tell you one thing. The person that's in bondage is the one that's in bondage to Hollywood. In bondage to Paris. In bondage to conform to the world. That's bondage. I'm telling you, that's bondage. Conform to the world. That's bondage. But God said, let my people go. Come out of Egypt. Come on out. I want you out all the way. You got to come all the way. Bring your cattle. Bring your sheep. Bring your children. Bring your wives. Bring your family. Bring everything, but come out. If you want God's blessing, you're coming out all the way. That's one thing, to get the body out, But I'm going to tell you what happened as we study here a little while today. You're going to find out that it's one thing to get your body out, but you can get out of Egypt geographically. But to get Egypt out of you is another thing. And if you ever make it, you're going to have to get Egypt out of your heart. I mean, completely out of your heart. Now, I don't think that, you know, when a lot of us start for the Lord, and that preacher used the gospel plow, and conviction fell on us, and we come to Jesus and repented of our sins, and was baptized in His name for the remission of sins, and was filled with the Holy Ghost, that we really understood everything. I believe that sanctification is a progressive work in our life. I believe that it's line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And I do believe that at camp meeting and conferences of this nature, that God's Word talks to us, and a little more of Egypt we lay down all the time. That's why so many people, you know, that's why unfaithful saints to the house of God have such a problem with Egypt. If you don't, you know, if you don't sit under the Word of God. Now, I don't say this for any reason that there are folks not here this morning. As I already told you, it's too early for some folks. It's not too early for me. I'm a 5 o'clock man. But it's too early for a lot of saints to get out, and especially at camp meeting. But I want to tell you something. You got to love the Word of God if you ever make heaven. Every pastor pastors people that want to come to revival, want to come on Sunday night, they want to shout, they want to hoop it up, but they don't want to come Wednesday night to a good Bible study. I'm going to tell you, it's the Word of God that's going to bring you out of Egypt. It's not I live on. No. It's not when we all get to heaven that's going to bring you out of Egypt. It's the Word of God that's going to expose Egypt in you. You've got to love it. And so it's a progressive walk with God that we're laying down Egypt daily in our lives. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to deal with it a little while this morning, but Egypt is more, it is, but it is more than standards of holiness. Now, I've known a lot of folks that can really shout over the standards too. When you get down to dealing with spirits, you have really got out of line. But Jesus dealt more with spirits than He ever dealt with how a man or woman should dress. Oh, that don't take away from what I've been talking about here. But I'm going to tell you, you can have the best, you can dress just like an apostolic and have a raunchy spirit and lose your soul. On the other hand, if you have the right spirit and your pastor teaches it, you can't go on and rebel against the Word of God and be right with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's take our Bibles. First Corinthians 10. Let me read to you. Beginning with verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, I want to talk about the five sins that kept
the children of Israel from entering the promised land. See, in the Old Testament, Canaan land was where God wanted the Israelite. The land of Canaan, the land of promise, in type, is a land of victory. It's a land of freedom. It's a land of joy. It's not heaven. It's a walk with God. It's a way with God. It is the will of God for the church, the people of God, to have that freedom, to have that joy, to have that blessing. The reason many of God's children are living under depression and guilt and a lot of other things is they've never allowed Egypt to get out of them. They're carrying on. You cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. So you've got to come out of Egypt. And so this is what the Word of God is telling, that we've got to come into the land of Canaan. I'm going to tell you something. When I started out to serve Jesus, there can be no thought of going back. I mean, we've got to make up our mind, this is it. I'm not going back. I'm not going to conform to anybody else. And I'm going to tell you another thing that you need to hear. I don't know. I keep talking to you like I'm talking to the saints I pastor, but I'm going to just tell you this. This is the way it is. A few years ago, I found myself, we have a radio station, so on the President's Day of Prayer, we call the Day of Prayer down at the city, and I called a number of pastors in the city and asked them if they'd join for that one day of prayer, which is the first Thursday of every May each year. And so we had quite a thing there. And it started, I spoke at the banquet and talked about prayer and how God wanted all of us to pray for our land, pray for our country, pray for our leaders, and brought all these people together. And I felt it was a very good endeavor. In fact, half of we from all different denominations, there was about 2,000 people that gathered that night. And we started prayer at 5 in the morning, and all day long, over 50 ministers throughout the city became a part of it. And it was good, and I enjoyed it. I felt it was good. I encouraged our people. I said, when you go there, you just pray like an apostolic. Don't let any of these Baptists splash over on you, or Catholics, or Episcopalians, or anybody else. Be what you are. And they did a pretty good job of it. But these pastors, they were nice men, and they come to me, and I enjoyed perhaps a little of that respect because of our radio ministry and our radio station. And they came and they said, we need more of these. And so I organized a few more. But here's what I found out, and I want you to hear it. And I know that everybody I'm talking to is not here this morning because I know there's tapes going out. And so I'm going to say this. You've got to be careful who you run with. Because when I sat in these meetings after a while with these men, and when I'm in a pulpit, I never really talk degrading of a particular group. If they're off, the Word of God's going to expose them. So these men were there. They were nice men, but they'd start talking about Jesus this. We did this last night. Some of them even believed in miracles. Some of them believed in talking in tongues. And after a long time of listening to that, I begin to think, you see, I have a human mind just like you do and everybody else. Hey, these guys are pretty good. Now, you got to watch out who you run with. Because I'm going to tell you something, you cannot run with the wrong crowd and stay straight. I'm not here to condemn them. I'm here because I've got to stay with this book. And I'm not going to spend my time fighting them. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I am not going to let myself become vulnerable to looseness. So be careful who you run with. And some of our preachers need to hear that today. You start running with the wrong crowd, and before long, you're going to accept everything. But I'm going to tell you there's something. I'm just going to say it this way this morning, real quickly. I have been preaching the gospel, Brother Davis, for about 37 years because I started when I was 17 years of age. And I have watched groups leave us, splinter off from us all through the years. And I can begin to name them, many of them that left. They backslid. Some of them literally backslid. All of them that I know, I only know about one man that in all those years has more in his congregation today than he had when he left us. All of them lost. I mean, they have about 50% of the congregation they had when they left.
And somebody says, why did that happen? Because we are people of the covenant. We have a covenant with God. And when you walk away from the covenant, you have the curse. Now, they can be walking toward this wonderful truth, and God will bless them. They can be coming out of Episcopalianism, Methodism, Catholicism, and a lot of other things, and walking toward the Holy Ghost and more light, and there's a blessing on that. But when you walk away from truth and profound truth and the Word of God, you will not have the blessing of the Lord upon your life. You have a curse. So you cannot leave this truth and be blessed. And I can tell you, through 30-some years of ministry, I can point my finger to every one of those preachers that left, and they did not leave. I believe this. You can leave the UPC and be blessed. I'm not preaching UPC doctrine this morning. I don't want you to leave. It's the best fellowship I know. I thank God for it. But I'm saying you can leave the United Pentecostal Church and be blessed, but you cannot leave the Word of God and be blessed. I said you cannot leave the Word of God. Some of you that were shouting before, why don't you just shout about it? You can't leave the Word of God and have the blessing of the Lord upon your life. You can leave an organization, but you can't leave God. And you can't leave the truth. When you walk away from truth, you're headed for trouble. Now, why do all these people want to leave? They do not want the Word. They try to hang it on the organization. They try to hang it on a man's doctrine. You know, it's a strange thing to me. I said this in Wisconsin, Brother Grant. It's a strange thing to me that the Dunkards and the Mennonites and the Quakers and the Amish and the German Baptists can wear bonnets. I mean, they're stricter than a lot of UPC preachers. And these charismatics and all these backsliders that have left the truth won't say one thing about them. But they are going to fight us every step of the way. The United Pentecostal Church is a cult. The United Pentecostal Church is this. The United Pentecostal Church is that. They're a bunch of freaks. The United Pentecostal Church is under bondage. Why don't they leave us alone and go on their way? We're happy. Is it possible we are their conscience? Is it possible that we have the truth of God's Word? And the other thing I'd like to say about that is that when I was a boy growing up in the church, it was the world that was against us. It was rocks through the window. It was tomatoes. They burned down churches. I went to public school. They called me a holy roller. They made fun of me. They made fun of my dad, who was a preacher. They made fun of us. And you know what? We were taught to just hold our head high because we were suffering a little bit of persecution for His name's sake. And we just went on our way. And we learned to live with it. And we never thought anything of it. In fact, the more that they poked fun of us, the more we rejoiced. But in 1993, we have a bunch of UPC pansies. You say you're just too plain. Well, that's just tough. That's just tough. Because we want to be... It's not the world that's picking at us. They're not... They may, in remote areas, break out windows, burn churches. They hardly ever call us holy rollers anymore. But we want acceptance by the religious world. And when they poke fun of us, come on now, some of you folks that are supposed to be Pentecostal. When the world pokes fun of us, when they call us a cult, when they call us under man's bondage, we can't take it. Man, we go around hanging our head saying, what's happening to us? Man, but somebody told me the other day, and I know it wouldn't hurt us, man, the UPC's got to get a public relations campaign. They're badgering us to death. That's what they told me. They were sincere. I said, I'm sure we need one. But what in the world's wrong with us? We don't have to bow to anything. That's that old desire for Egypt in us. Hold your head high. Keep walking with the Word of God. We're going to come out on top. We have the truth.
We come out of Egypt. We're not going back to Egypt. God brought us out to Egypt. We're going to stand for God. Let my people go.
Man. He said they lusted. These are the five sins. Let me just read some of this to you because that's about all the time I have. This is a lust that is based on satisfying self at the expense of God and others. Lust is not always immorality. You can have a lust for power. You can have a lust for money, greed. You can have a lust for attention. You can have a lust for fancy attire. You can have all kinds of lust. Anything you lust after more than you desire God is going to get you in trouble. Yes? Love is of God, and love is always giving. But lust wants to get. It is basically selfish. Love gives, lust gets. And the children of Israel, they come out of Egypt, but they have the lust of Egypt in them. And if we come out of Egypt, we better get Egypt out of us. That's why we need some old-fashioned prayer meetings and fasting and dying to flesh and the Word of God living in our hearts. Because we have come out, but we need to get it out of us. And then there's that idolatry. Oh, I just, you know, when you talk about that lust, the thugs and the robbers that beat up the Good Samaritan, they were greedy. And they said, what is yours, buddy, is ours. And we're going to beat you up till we get it. You know, I just like I told you when I started, I can preach exterior holiness. I can preach a lot of things that we enjoy hearing. But when you get down to where we're living, it just bothers us something terrible. That's because there's a little bit of Egypt left down in us. And I'm telling you, if we come out as Pentecostals, we need to come all the way out. We need to dress right, but we need right spirits. We need right attitudes. We need a lot of things right. We need to forget greed and let God be our supplier. The second thing is idolatry. Idolatry is a value system that we create in which we esteem something to be more worthy of our devotion than devotion to God. It's anything you put before God. And you can worship your automobile. You can worship your image, your physique, your body. This is when everybody's worshiping their body. Everybody's in some kind of class learning how to slim up. And a God knows we need it in Pentecost. But I'm going to tell you something. There's only one to worship, and that's God. That's why the young rich ruler could not stay with Christ. Because he turned away sorrowful. He was not willing to give up something that belonged, that the Lord asked him to give up. You cannot worship your ministry, preacher. You worship God. I'm seeing a lot of young ministers, and I want to pick on young ministers because we got some of the finest dedicated young evangelists you will ever find. They are strong. They are indoctrinated in the Word of God. But we have some others that are having some problems. They may be in the ministry of music, and they love their ministry of music more than they really love the God that makes the real music. Whatever it is, it could be an evangelist, it could be a missionary, it could be a pastor. If you're more set on your right, my ministry, my work, my image, it's not your image, it's God's image. The image of Christ. And then there is the fornication that they spoke about. Paul said, he said they died in the wilderness because of fornication. And fornication could be any immorality or sexual immorality. And I know this is getting down to where the rubber meets the pavement, but I want to tell you something. There's been too many of our people fall back into that immorality and that corruption. Wonderful ministers of the gospel, ever so often you hear. I'm going to tell you, and you say, well, I'd never do that. You better not say you'd never do it because you're very vulnerable. You're a human being. There's only one sure way, and that's to get Egypt out of your heart. That's to draw near to God. But you can't fool around with Playboy. Oh, what do you name that for? Because it needs to be named.
Well, that's for the Baptists and the Methodists and the heathen. No, it's for the UPC. That's pornography. That's all the filth that Hollywood produces. You can't play around with that stuff and then come to church and act like everything's all right. It's going to be in your heart. It just puts more Egypt. That's what the video production is doing today. It's putting more Hollywood in us and more. You can't even read a magazine or look at a billboard or see anything without a half-naked woman or all-naked woman anymore. And it's just sowing that seed. And that's why there's so much fornication and adultery and immorality, homosexualism, and lesbianism in our world today and in the church. Not in God's church. It's church. You better come out of Egypt.
Then there's that tempting of Christ. When the crowd demanded that Jesus come down from the cross, they tempted Him. Tempting Christ, demanding that He do what is contrary to His will and His word. Yeah, that's what we have today. A group that's tempting Christ. They want to ignore the word of God. Make it easier. That's why we better hold to the new birth message. That's why we better hold to biblical standards of holiness and don't waver or vacillate that much. And then finally, the murmurings. He said that He give us five sins, and I'm just hitting the light. Murmuring in its simplest form is nothing more or less than negative confession. Complaining, criticizing, fault-finding, rumoring all and more. Just complaining. We need to recognize that problem is so prevalent amongst us. Huh. I said it's prevalent amongst us. When I was much younger, I used to thrive on knowing, Brother Davis, any problem that ever existed with any minister, any problem in the organization, and if I could just find out a little bit of that and be just ahead of everybody else. About 10 years ago, I got sick of that stuff. And I found out that nobody calls me anymore. Because I always change the subject when they start talking. And when they start telling about a minister that fell into sin, I say, well, we really need to pray for him. They don't want to pray for him. They want to chew on the beautiful nectar of the guy's faults and his failures while family is home weeping, crying, torn. A ministry is lost. Saints are broken. But they want to talk about it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't even want the phone calls. I'll hear about it soon enough. I do not want anybody calling me and pouring that garbage in my ear. I do not. I'm a human being. And I cannot listen to all that trash. They are murmurers. They are complainers. Why do you think in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, the children of Israel, could they come out of Egypt? He brought them through the Red Sea. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He gave them water out of a rock. But they came to the land of promise and they could not go in the land of promise. The Bible said the spies come back with an evil report. They were murmurers. They were complainers. They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against the leadership. We have a bunch of grumblers in our midst today in the United Pentecostal Church. They murmur. They grumble. They complain. They talk. They backbite. In the name of Jesus, they backbite. In the name of Pentecost, they backbite. In the name of the organization, they backbite. In the name of an official, they backbite. But it's time for the church to wake up and realize we are not to murmur or complain. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it if it comes out of St. Louis or it comes out of Stockton, but I'm sick of it. I have enough trouble with myself without listening to a bunch of these murmurs and complainers. And I'll tell you, if I'm sick of it, I can imagine how God feels. All of those sins kept them from entering into the land of promise. And we've been talking about revival for so long in our movement, but we're never going to, I'm just going to blow it out. We're never going to have the kind of revival. We're never going to have an Ethiopia revival. And that's another thing. You talk about a bunch of murmurs and we got preachers running around the country. Those people didn't get the Holy Ghost over there. We got a bunch of reprobates. No wonder we can't have revival. We have a bunch of folks that didn't get the Holy Ghost in our youth camps. We have a bunch of folks that don't get the Holy Ghost in our churches. But if you can keep it down to four or five at a time, we're pretty sure. Well, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They said 3,000. Oh, surely 3,000 folks couldn't get the Holy Ghost. My goodness. What in the world is wrong with us? We are the bunch of dissectors. God called us, I guess, to work in His laboratory to check everybody's blood. Reprobates, backsliders, under the name and banner of Pentecost. We're not going to have revival. Never. Until we get Egypt out of us all the way. Brother Woodward, we had a wedding together Saturday. He's an old timer. I love him. We may not see everything eye to eye. We may. I mean, Brother Davis, you and I may not see everything eye to eye, but we've been friends a long time. But we see enough eye to eye. And that's everything that's based in this book. And when we start emphasizing all the things we don't agree with one another on, rather than the things we agree with one another on, we're going to have problems. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I want to come out of Egypt, brothers and sisters. And I want to get Egypt out of me. So let's just lift our hands and ask Jesus to cleanse us and to keep us pure, loving one another. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you.